This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome the dean of the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, Juan Carlos Moyeda, to Real News. And in addition to his administrative duties, Dean Moyeda has spent a career and continues to work as an academic studying communications, communications management, and all of this in an international context. So that's why it seems appropriate to ask you, from that point of view of your studies and your expertise, what can you offer to the news consumer to help differentiate not just news, but all of the communication that comes at us, public relations messages, advertising, flat out propaganda, lies? How do we separate that and know what we should give some credence to and what we should throw away?
Yes, thank you so much, Peter. And I want to also add to your introduction that I'm the co-director of the Latin American Communication Monitor. And we have been doing this since 2004. The topic you're addressing is affecting the whole continent. So it's really serious. And I think there are basic things that consumers can do. One thing is to see who is the source. Check the sources, check the nature of the source, and check some other contents that this source may be providing. Of course, I am biased as a person expert in communication, and I normally follow more formal type of news organizations, both in the US and Latin America and the world. So I have my news sources, and I try to compare the news sources. So know your sources, and second, also be open to contrast sources.
To looking at something that you may not agree with the point of view, and or looking at something that is in opposition to the sources that you usually rely on.
Yeah, a more conservative news source and a more liberal news source. And I think you will have an interesting balance in both of views.
Now, in this era where there can be such quick and sophisticated manipulation of the tools that we use, a website, for example, you and I could throw one up right now and make up a name, the Oregon Venezuelan news source, and yes, come up with a trademark. We could do this, and we're slow at it. Somebody fast could do it in a few minutes. We could do it in an hour or so. What tools and tactics might you have for the news consumer to figure out what is a false representation and what is something that is legitimate and is worth paying attention?
Even though, Peter, people can put together a website or a social media account, production quality counts. Not everyone is going to invest in production quality, you know, in quality of images, in quality of tests, in quality of videos. Even though sometimes the most powerful content may be a viral content that happened when a citizen take a video with his or her phone, something that is happening in their communities. But I will be looking at quality of production, but also a quality of the evidence that they present when they say this happened or this is a fact. So, you know, I think something that I am very enthusiastic about is media literacy. And I just heard today that the state of Illinois, for instance, now it is a legislation that media literacy has to be taught in schools, not only in the university. So I think it takes a little bit of effort of the consumer to be able to educate themselves about what exactly is quality of information.
And this Real News series is an example of trying to take advantage of the expertise at the School of Journalism and Communication to help all of us news consumers improve our news literacy. One of the things that comes to mind when you're talking about the sophistication of a site is something as basic as spelling and sentence structure,
yes,
whatever the language. And at times it is comical, tragic, but comical, the errors that are made that are so easy to spot that would not come out of what we might call a legitimate site.
Totally. And something also that I would pay attention is about sensational type of contents. You know, contents that are really extreme and hype. I would be very, very cautious about this type of content. And at the same time, you know, it is amazing how quality of contents, in addition to the challenge we are facing with misinformation, but at the same time, we haven't had any time in our lives that we can really assess for free a really amazing content online.
And so that perhaps brings us to a close. It sounds to me as if what you are saying is that we as news consumers, whether we are professionals, academics, or the general public, the onus is on us to do the work.
Yeah.
And we have to take advantage of these different tools that we're hearing from you and from the others in the School of Journalism and Communication who are talking on Real News and whatever else the public learns to differentiate and to pay attention and to not be seduced.
Yes, and I think this is the era for consumers of contents and all type of organizations to develop a trusted relationship. You know, it takes two to tango. It takes the consumer, but it also takes organizations to produce contents that will be reliable. Could be a news organization or could be a private or public organization, you know, a sector organization or even a government office. And I think that in the long run, this premise of reputational through actions and quality of decision-making that is expressed in content, I think is going to make a difference in the long haul.
And to your point, the video that was taken with her phone by the young woman who witnessed the killing in Minneapolis and won a Pulitzer Prize for her work is a prime example of someone who would not, at the moment she pushed the record button, be considered a professional journalist and became one.
And the professional journalists and news organizations recognize the quality of that content because it was authentic, was verifiable, and was impactful.
And hence, the news consumer would be able to, from the standpoint of an educated news consumer, determine that it was something worth accepting as reality because of all those factors.
Yeah, and also, you know, I think consumer has to be smart, or they are smart in paying attention to observing what exactly this photograph or this video presents and probably discovering any type of inconsistencies. You know, for instance, I have seen videos of the awful situation in California and Oregon with the wildfires. And sometimes you can recognize things to say, no, this is real. I can recognize this specific spaces, or I can recognize these specific symbols or locations. So be really curious, curious and challenge what you see.
Absolutely.
Thank and what you read, of course, and what you listen to.
Yes. Thank you, Dean Juan Carlos Maeda, for joining us today on Real News. And perhaps what I'm taking away from our conversation is that maybe an argument can be made for the fact that all of these hustlers out there who are creating that which is false helped news consumers in general become more sophisticated in order to avoid being trapped.
That's the optimistic point of view. I think in the long haul, individuals will be able to discern and to compare and contrast contents and be very wise. Like they are wise in buying products and services.
Indeed. Thank you.
Okay, a pleasure.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.